divine sufficiency is Sufi science. I mean, in a sense, you could say the whole Sufi path is to come to that, you know, a feeling that alone suffices me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, very interesting. While we were doing the weird tonight, you know, at the Hasbi Allahu La Ilaha Illahu Alayta Wa Kaltu Wa Rabbul Arshul Azim, we stopped and, you know, started a moment talking about it. You know, what Allah, what it means to, and what the experience is also, that Allah is sufficient. Yeah, I mean, alhamdulillah. In fact, it in part, Hasbi Allahu means also to be aware of the divine generosity and to rely on it, you know. Mm-hmm. But Habib came up with a brilliant, because, and after we finished the weird, he said, actually, Sheikh Noor's translation of Hasbi Allahu is,
divine sufficiency is Sufi science.
You know, which is in the essay on Sufi science, right. Divine sufficiency is Sufi science. So it's interesting. It's almost like a lock and key, you know, that, yeah, the Sufi relies on Allah alone, and the Sufi is satisfied by Allah alone. And we were speaking with someone a few days ago about that, you know, about this whole thing of how, as you detach from the appearance of the world, you recognize it as a play of divine energies, then you, you know, you can see it better. Once you feel that you're not just relying on the world, then you can perceive more deeply what is really flowing here and happening here. And knowing that when we want healing, for instance, and we take a pill for it, the normal level is, you know, we take a pill to get healed. Of course, I think that, you know, oh, I've had a sore throat, I better take an herb or a pill or something. But the Sufi thinks, I have a sore throat, let me ask Allah to heal me, you know. And then we say, and this is again the highest mystics, mystic masters, but we still can take the pill or the herb because that is the clothing, the dress of that divine healing is clothed in the world. I mean, Allah could almost call this universe Allah's dress, you know, Allah's robes. So Allah alone suffices me, because when we come to our own core, then only Allah is there, and only Allah can suffice Allah, only Allah can fulfill Allah. So it's very important for us as dervishes to be more on that level, to refer, you know, to be conscious of that level of Allah present here, and alhamdulillah. So it's good to practice that too. You know, to remember to ask Allah first for healing, or to ask Allah first for help, and only then use whatever the secondary means are that go with that. And then we'll never be without Allah, we'll never be alone. Let's look a little bit at the atom, where that phrase comes from. Noor's extraordinary chapter on Sufism, an essay on Sufism. Other mystic masters have written on Sufism. I don't know if there's an essay that is as dense and long. It's like it's almost like you come to a gold mine and you find a vein of gold, you know, and you mine the gold, and then you think that's going to be it. And then as soon as you remove that, there's another
layer. There's diamonds.
Layer. There's diamonds and rubies, and I mean, it's the richest exposition. But let's read the first few sentences, because Noor's Urs, the Urs of our Sheikh, Sheikh Noor, is coming on the 1st, and we will meet here for zikr on the 1st. I'll read the first chapter. I think I've read this many times, but I still feel I've just come to the surface. The Sufi is hidden even from his or her own eyes. So immediately we introduce the guide, what's hidden and secret. And this immediately brings about the flavor of Sufism. So Allah is both Zahir and Batin, as we know. And we actually come to the Zahir through the Batin. We come to the evident, to the outward, through the inward. The journey really of the Sufi is first inward. An enigmatic figure for whom divine mystery, the unity that embraces everything, is always sufficient. Whether in the going and coming of daily life or in the cycle of emanation and return of the entire universe. Yeah, I mean the Yabatin is kind of a signature of mysticism, of the mystic path that we seek inwardly, because the human being has all these, what Saint Therese called the interior castles, and layer after layer after layer of divine manifestation, and the more inward we go, you would say, the closer we come to the essence and to the Haq. And then, if we attain that, if we reach that place, then we see that everything is Haq. And then at that point, there's almost really, you could not distinguish between inner and outer anymore. There is no really inner and outer, except that there is always the point of origin, the point of manifestation of Allah. So we still call that the inner. The only God is always sufficient to his servant. The only God is always sufficient to his servant. I mean, if we could only know that, we would be at peace. So that whatever we need, whatever we want, but if we can really just turn to Allah. In fact, you know, I sometimes think that Allah gives us, again, to come back to the secondary means. There's so many secondary means. And the amazing thing is that we must live them, because life itself is almost a secondary means. You know, why did we not stay in pre-eternity? That's a good place. We were with Allah, you know, there. We didn't have to come into this embodiment, into earth and water and fire and air and that mixture that really gives us such trouble. So, but that is what Allah chose for us. So that's why we must accept it. Not only accept it, be grateful to it. Be grateful for it. And you know, whatever Allah chooses for us, we are grateful for. So, and that's another high state to achieve. So if it's a headache, a toothache, a stomachache, a pain, a distress, you know, if we can first of all be grateful for it, then we are truly living the life of a dervish, of a Sufi. This traditional phrase of Islam is constantly on the lips and blossoms from the very existence of the person who belongs solely to divine sufficiency. So that's Hasbi Allah, Hasbi Allah, Hasbi Allah. So that is a zikr in itself, and a beautiful thing to repeat, Hasbi Allah. Who remains in the life-giving atmosphere of Sufism, the warming sunlight of Sufism. Divine sufficiency is Sufi science.
That's what this refers to as well, right?
Maryam
was given the
The Quranic phrase of Maryam, Yeah. She was made sufficient because she relied solely on Allah. Yeah, and whenever Zechariah entered her chamber, he found her supplied with spiritual and, well, I don't know exactly how we translate it, earthly and spiritual, sustenance. And he said, how did you come by this, Maryam? How did you come by this, Maryam? He said, it comes from my Lord most generous, who gives without measure. So Sufis, dervishes, should think without measure. They should, not that we don't have measure, we should have balance and justice and be able to weigh things as imperfect as human weighing is, you know, but that's called discernment. But while refraining from judgment or condemnation, which is our, you know, a very easy thing to fall into, but we do weigh things, but our scope, our landscape, our vision should be without boundaries. And know that Allah is without boundaries and Allah's generosity is without boundaries. My God, if you just feel that in your heart, don't you feel different? Mm. Yeah, you walk around then as Allah's true servant and one who is capable of helping others, because we feel that boundlessness, then we truly become a source of divine generosity for others. Yeah.
Open space.
Open space, exactly. One of your favorite, terms, which is a beautiful open space. Oh, Allah, make me the open space in the fertile field for the descent of your mercy, your revelation. Amen. Alhamdulillah.
My poverty is my pride.
What?
My poverty is my pride.
My poverty is my pride. Right, you could say it's a poverty from limitation too. Because anything that we define ourselves with, anything that we grasp onto or think we own, we limit ourselves by, you know. In a way, if we think we don't own anything, nor do we even own an identity, then we are. We're totally open and totally rich. That's amazing. That's amazing. Alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, this week let's, you know, enter that open space and stand in the open space and feel that poverty, spiritual poverty, which is really, it's a teaching. You find it very much also in the Christian mystics. It was one of Jesus, alayhi salam, one of his great teachings of poverty. And, and many thousands and thousands of Christians followed in that way. But we have to attain the inner poverty. That's the real thing, the inner poverty, which is what Rumi said is nameless and traceless. You know, la zaman, la makan. Amin. Alhamdulillah. Rumi and Noor have a very special relationship. I feel a great linkage. I mean, certainly, and Effendi too. I mean, so it's Effendi, Noor, Mevlana for modern times. It's such a conduit. Very, very powerful. Yeah, the Turkish Babas would say that Sheikh Noor was Shems for Effendi, you know. But, for us, he was Mevlana. And
that's what Sheikh Noor said, the dervish is
the other. The dervish is the other. That's another one of his phrases. And I don't know if it's possible it's in his writing, but he spoke it. That's part of his oral tradition. The dervish is the other. So we love each other so much that we become each other. Yeah, I just read that recently. And in fact, I was reading one of his chapters, the last one. And the lover or the dervish takes on through love, really. Through love, he said, we become everyone. What a great freedom that is, you know, to be able to be everyone.